Good evening, everyone. I guess that hush means that I should begin. It's great to see everyone out tonight for our evening services. I guess you've missed them, because it's good to see you all here this evening. I've missed them too, okay? And because we've missed them so much, we're going to have them every week from now on, okay? So that's the way it's going to be. So the first Sunday of the month that we previously were going down to Hayocks, we're going to be here instead. We're going to do something just slightly different. We're going to do a few more new songs, or maybe be some testimonies as well. So that's what we're going to do on the first of the month. But it's good to have you all here tonight. It's good that we're able to be here to worship the Lord together, to be able to share together, to encourage one another, to gather around God's word as well. So I'm going to pass over to the praise group, and they're going to lead us in a time of praise. And just before we begin, let's just join together in prayer. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this evening hour when we can come together in this place. We come to worship you. Lord Jesus, we come to lift your name high. We come to remember all that you are and all that you have done. And we come with praise on our lips and joy in our hearts at the God that you are. And we pray, Lord God, as we're here in this place tonight, that you would inhabit our praises and that we would know your presence very close beside us through your Holy Spirit. So, Father, bless each person gathered in this place this evening, and may we know the presence of your Holy Spirit in our midst. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let's stand and let's sing together.
Thank you.
Let's just quieten our hearts before the Lord in prayer. Let's just pray. Knowing you, Jesus, knowing you, there is no greater thing. And Father, as we come before you tonight, we declare that as true. We declare that Jesus is our all in all. And we want to lift his name high. We want to glorify him. We want to become less, that he might become more in our lives. And we pray that he might be clearly seen. We thank you when Jesus came into the world, he came as the light of the world. And we reflect that light into the world, into a dark and broken world. And we thank you, Lord God, that we are called as witnesses to the Lord Jesus, that we are called to proclaim his name and to lift his name high. And we pray, Lord God, each and every day, as we know the Lord Jesus, as we recognize that he is our all in all, that you would help us to be bold for you in the situation where you have set us. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can gather here in this place tonight, that we can find encouragement from you, that we can learn from your word, that we can share with one another, and we can know your presence through your Holy Spirit. And we pray tonight, Lord God, that we might be very aware that you are here, that you are the one who holds all things in his hands, who knows exactly what we're going through, who knows even the number of hairs on our heads, who knows our exact situation. And so, Father, we pray that we could come with complete confidence that you're the God who is there, that you're the God who cares. And, Father, we pray that you would minister to us tonight. So, Father, watch over us and bless us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, folks, if you have a Bible there, we are going to look just briefly tonight at John's Gospel, John chapter 3 and verse 22 and onwards there. John 3 and verse 22, this is the story of John the Baptist and Jesus and who he proclaims Jesus to be. Okay, Jesus has been speaking with Nicodemus, and this is after that episode. After this, Jesus and his disciples went out into the Judean countryside, where he spent some time with them and baptized. Now, John was also baptizing at Aenon near Salem, because there was plenty of water, and people were coming and being baptized. This was before John was put in prison. An argument developed between some of John's disciples and a certain Jew over the matter of ceremonial washing. They came to John and said to him, "Rabbi, that man who was with you on the other side of the Jordan, the one you testified about, look, he is baptizing, and everyone is going to him." To this John replied, "A person can receive only what is given them from heaven. You yourselves can testify that I said, I am not the Messiah, but am sent ahead of him. The bride belongs to the bridegroom. The friend who attends the bridegroom waits and listens for him and is full of joy when he hears the bridegroom's voice. That joy is mine, and it is now complete. He must become greater, I must become less. The one who comes from above is above all. The one who is from earth belongs to the earth and speaks as one from the earth. The one who comes from heaven is above all. He testifies to what he has seen and heard, but no one accepts his testimony. Whoever has accepted it has certified that God is truthful. For the one whom God has sent speaks the words of God. For God gives the Spirit without limit. The Father loves the Son and has placed everything in his hands. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on them. Amen. God will bless this reading from his holy word. I wonder if you are the kind of person who is competitive. Are you the kind of person who is competitive? Some people just have this nature, don't they, of being a kind of competitive person. I know several people who are the mildest-mannered people, mildest-mannered on the outside, okay? But you put a board game in front of them, and suddenly there's this glow in their eyes, and they have this tunnel vision, and it's win at all costs. Do you know people like that? There's a few people here tonight, Jim Fitzsimmons, isn't that right? I know others who would be fairly mild-mannered, but put them on a football pitch, and they're just horrendous. Yellow cards, red cards, all over the place. Knew someone that I studied theology with, put him on a football pitch, honestly, he just lost his head completely. Unbelievable, really competitive. Of course, there's nothing wrong, is there, with a bit of a competitive spirit. As long as, of course, as you're able to lose well. It's being a bad loser that's the worst thing, isn't it? John's just turned 8 and Alistair will soon be 4, and they seem to be a kind of age where, you know, it's a must be a boy thing, I think, mainly. But everything is a competition, okay? So you go out the door in the morning and it's a race. Who's the first to the car? Then it's the first to open their door and sit in their seat. And then it's a race to see who's the first to put their seatbelt on. It's constant competition. And then John will say, look, it wasn't a race when he loses. And then Alistair will say, no, that wasn't a race that time either. You know, when he loses, that's just the way it is. Maybe you know what I'm talking about there. A competitive spirit. The fact is, I believe that there is a bit of a competitive spirit in each of us. It might not be over board games. It might not be over sports. But I do believe there is a bit of a competitive spirit in each of us. And hopefully, because some of you are like, no, I'm not competitive. You know, I'm mild-mannered. You know, I don't really care. You know, if I lose at Monopoly or whatever other Scrabble, whatever it might be. But I think that there might be a bit of a competitive spirit in each of us. And it actually comes from a place of pride. And that's what I want to speak about tonight. You see, it might not be sports or board games, but maybe it's in jam making. Or maybe it's in your garden. You know, I'm going to have a better garden than them down the road. Or I'm going to have a better car. Or I'm going to have a better house. You know, there is that kind of competitive spirit. You know, there's a bit of a, oh, they've got a better job than me. Or whatever it might be in our lives. And sometimes we get into that kind of competition, don't we? You know, we meet people that were in our year at school and we see, oh, they've gone much better than me. You know, how can that be? Sometimes life turns into a competition. And wittingly or unwittingly, we compete against others. And we often want to be better than other people are, if we're honest in ourselves. Now, why do we do that? Well, we're the star of our own movie, aren't we? We spend 90% of our time thinking about ourselves, don't we? If we're completely honest. You get up in the morning, you think what you're going to have for breakfast. You think about what you're going to do for your day. And yes, you might think a wee bit about your children, you know, make sure they get off to school. But really, you're focused on, this is what I've got to do today. This is what's in my work today. This is what, you know, I'm going to be doing today. This is how I'm feeling today. We spend 90% of our time being the star of our own movie, don't we? And quite often, we want to feel good about ourselves, don't we? We want to feel as though we're doing better than others, whether it be a big thing or a petty thing. We don't really like others doing better than ourselves because that doesn't make us feel good, does it? And so in different areas of our life, and I'm exaggerating a wee bit here, there are areas of competitiveness and pride that poke their head through. And even in terms of our faith, that can be the case. You can have competitions within the church. And you know exactly what I'm talking about there. You can have people, and I knew people, who would compete. How many meetings could they get to? You know, always at the meetings. There's nothing wrong with coming to meetings when you come in the right spirit. But their whole spirit was, you know, I just want to make sure I'm at everything, because I want to be in the know as to what's going on, and I want to be better than that person. And they puffed themselves up with pride. I'm at everything. That was their thought. I knew other people in a church I was once part of, and there was a competition between certain people as to who could be the closest to the pastor. You know, who could be on his good side all the time? Who had the ear of the pastor? And that can happen, can't it? I love this passage about John the Baptist. We looked at it fairly recently, but I find it just a really helpful passage, and I thought it was helpful as we begin our evening services once more. Because in many ways it is an antidote to a wrong competitive spirit and to spiritual pride. That's what we find in this passage. It's a brilliant passage. I love it. Because here is John in this baptism, okay? And he's been out there doing his thing. He has been preaching this baptism of repentance. He's there in his camel clothes and he's eating his locusts. He's eating his honey, his wild honey. Quite a sight he must have been. And he's given it some. He's out there. He's preaching it. He's telling them, repent, you brood of vipers. And he's baptizing them. And crowds of people are coming out. They're coming to John to repent and be baptized. Wonderful. What wonderful ministry that John must have had. Now, of course, John was called to do this by God, wasn't he? That was the calling upon his life. But humanly speaking, he could have been proud that all these crowds were coming to him. He could have been quite proud of that, humanly speaking, couldn't he? Look at this. You know, this is going well. You know, there are tons of people coming out here. They're being baptized. And he could have thought, you know, we glow inside. I'm doing pretty well here. In our passage tonight, we see that as John is baptizing, an argument develops between some of John's disciples and a certain Jew over ceremonial washing. We're not quite sure what the discussion is, but obviously someone had come out. They didn't particularly like what John was doing. And they're having this argument, and then they come to John. And I think as they approach John, as you look at it in this passage, there is a bit of mischief making. Okay, there is mischief making as they're approaching John, because they say to John here, Rabbi, that man who was with you in the other side of the Jordan, Jesus in other words, the one you testified about, look, he's baptizing and everyone's going to him. And they kind of leave that comment hanging in the air, don't they? They're expecting a reaction from John. And their expectation here is that John the Baptist will kind of want to puff up his chest in indignation. And they can imagine him saying, what do you mean baptizing? That's my job. I'm John the Baptist. Why is he doing that now? What do you mean everyone is going to him? They should be coming to me. That's their expectation, isn't it? That's what they think John is going to react like. And I truly believe that they expect John's pride to be hurt. Look, John, Jesus is baptizing now. Everyone, and notice how they put everyone, is going to him now. And they expect John to be saying, hold on here. You know, this is my patch. You know, and maybe they expect John, you know, let's put some strategies together, guys. You know, we're losing people here. Let's get people back. We maybe expect that he's going to put some strategies together to try and get more people to come to him, because he's losing out to his competitor across the Jordan, so to speak. His reaction, however, is a surprise. It's a surprise to the Jew, to perhaps his own disciples. Maybe it's a surprise even to us. You see, John knows his place, doesn't he? And he knows what he's all about. This is what I love about John. You see, he's already testified he's not the Messiah. He understands that. I am not the Savior. I am not the Messiah. He never claimed that he was. He's simply doing what he's been called to do. And rather than be angry that people are going to Jesus or bumping his gums, do you ever do that? You bump your gums? Don't like that very much. Instead of bumping his gums, do you see what he is? He is full of joy. Completely opposite reaction to what they expected. He's full of joy, a joy that's complete. And then, of course, he says the famous words, "He must become greater, and I must become less." Now, the reason I wanted to look at this passage tonight, at the beginning of our evening service that's restarting, is that this needs to be our focus, doesn't it? You see, it's so key that Jesus becomes more in our life and we become less. You see, as we thought a little bit about this morning, when we become a Christian, as Jesus has just explained in John chapter 3, earlier in chapter 3, we are born again, aren't we? We are a new creation. The old is gone and the new comes. The old us, with our sin and our imperfection, has been crucified with Jesus. Sometimes I think we forget that. The old is gone. That's what it means to be born again, to be born afresh. And we become a new person in Christ as we believe in Jesus, with new desires, a desire to follow God and to glorify him. We become less. He becomes more. Because there's no place for spiritual pride any longer. Because if you think about it, what's happened? You see, when we believed in Jesus, what did we believe? We believed that Jesus died on the cross. What did Jesus do? He died in our place. He died as our substitute. And it's because of his righteousness that we can come before a holy God. Therefore, it's nothing to do with us. All we can do is accept God's grace. Therefore, there's no place for pride, is there? Because no one is righteous. Not even one. We can't be proud of ourselves. We're proud of Jesus. And that's who we want to exalt. That is who we want to lift high. You see, as John says in verse 36, "Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. But whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on them." You see, the brilliant thing is that when we believe in Jesus, when we follow Jesus, Jesus has taken God's wrath upon himself. That no longer is God angry with us. We are covered by Christ's righteousness, by his blood. And therefore, we're made holy in God's sight. You see, John here realizes he's not the Messiah. He's not the Savior. He's the friend, isn't he, who attends the bridegroom. Jesus is the bridegroom. And John rejoices in that. Now, to some extent, this is completely opposite to what we know in the world, isn't it? Because we always want to keep up with the Joneses. No one Jones is here tonight, is there? We want to keep up with the Joneses. We want to have pride in ourselves and what we've achieved. But actually, the Christian life isn't about us. It's about Jesus. And it's saying, I want to lift him high. I want to glorify him. I want always in my life to point towards him. And the most wonderful thing happens when you start to point to Jesus. And it happened with John. You see, John is not remotely bothered that people are going to Jesus. That's wonderful. That's what he loves. That's the whole aim of the thing. Go and baptize and be with Jesus. Wonderful. Don't come to me any longer. And he rejoices in that. You see, there's part of us that sometimes wants to be somebody or to make a name for themselves. And yet actually, when you become a Christian, it's no longer about you. The old is gone. It's all about being a new creation, following Christ, lifting his name high. You see, as John is not the Saviour, we're not the Saviour either, are we? It's all about Christ Jesus. We can't glory in our own achievements because it's all about Christ. And so over these evening services, as we start a new session, we want to keep these words in mind because these are really helpful words. If you're really struggling with self-worth here, if you're really wondering, you know, what is my identity? You know, because sometimes, you know, especially if you come to retirement, I speak to a number of people who come to retirement and they suddenly think, who am I? What am I any longer? I have no identity anymore. You know, because my identity was bound up in my work and my achievements at my work. And no longer do I have that. I speak to people whose, you know, children have left home, you know, now at university or got a job or moved out. And they think, well, you know, I had an identity. I was a mother looking after my children and I don't have that any longer. What is my identity now? This is a really helpful thing because it says your identity is bound up in Christ and is bound up in who he is. And that will never change. You're a son or a daughter of God, first and foremost. That's your identity. And everything else stems from that. You see, sometimes in your life you have regrets. You'll have things you think I'm ashamed of, or whatever it might be. You think, you know, I could have done that better. But actually, your self-worth isn't found in yourself, isn't found in your achievements or your failures. It's found in Christ, and it's found in him alone. And what do you see when you look at him? You see perfection. You see love. You see grace. You see care. So I want to say to you tonight, let's lift him high. Let's make him greater. Let's become less. Because the strange thing is, as you become less, then you know a deeper joy within. That's the strange thing. That is the upside down world of being a Christian. And it is wonderful. The world does not understand it. It cannot understand it. Because you're saying, I don't care about my achievements. I'm not proud in myself. I want to exalt someone else. I'm taking the hands off the steering wheel of my life. And I want to point towards him. He must become greater. I must become less. Most Heavenly Father, we thank you for this passage this evening. And most of all, we are struck by John's humility. Because when that Jew and some of his own disciples came to him, the expectation was that John would be angry or he would be upset that people are going to Jesus to be baptized or following Jesus rather than him. But Father, we thank you that John recognized this was the way it was meant to be, that he was the one who was to prepare the way for the bridegroom, that he himself was not the bridegroom, but Jesus was, and Jesus is. And Father, we pray that we might realize that in our own lives, that we're not the bridegroom, but we are called to point to Jesus. And Lord God, if we come to this place tonight, and we are struggling with feelings about self-worth or what life has been all about, maybe we've been concerned about our achievements over our life, or maybe we're concerned that we don't seem to have achieved anything in our life. But Father, we thank you that you don't care about these things that we care about. You care about Jesus. You care about what Jesus did at the cross at Calvary. And Father, when we believe and trust in him, then the old life is gone. The old person is gone. We are a new creation. We are born again. And when we are born again, we are called to serve you, to point towards you. That we're to put aside our own desires and to think about what you might desire. That we're called to point to you. So, Father, we pray that we would be willing to make you greater and ourselves less. And that, Father, as we do so, May we know that deep joy and that deep peace within. So Heavenly Father, speak to us through your word tonight, we pray. For we pray these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Okay, we're just going to share with one another in just a moment or two. But before we do so, the praise group are going to lead us in a couple of quieter items of praise just now. Just remain seated.
Thousand stories of hope.
Okay, everyone, let's just have some time just to share with one another this evening. You might want to share anything that has touched you from God's word tonight. If something has really spoken to you, if you want to share that with those around you that you're comfortable sharing with. And then do share what has God been doing over the summer. Okay, so not just in the last week. What's God been doing over the summer? Where have you seen his hand at work? In big ways, small ways? Where have you known his sustaining over this summer period? Okay, so what has God been doing? Encourage the folks around you. Okay, and if there are things to pray for, we'll get to that later on too. So let's just spend some time and let's just share with one another this evening.